Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Final hour on this Friday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Fun first 2 hours here on the show. Preds, Titans, college basketball, and let's get into the Final Four here. Two great games coming up tomorrow in Indianapolis. Illinois and UConn lead us off shortly after 5 o'clock Central Time, and then just before 8 p.m., the main attraction, the main event, Michigan-Arizona out there in Indy. Going to be two good games, and we can start with Illinois and UConn. Illinois, I was really impressed with their run to the Final Four, especially beating Houston and the defensive performance against Houston. Already with the Cougars basically playing a home game, Illinois was able to throttle them in the Sweet 16, took care of business against Iowa in the Final Four. So Illinois, a deserving team to be here. I wonder if they have enough juice to get by Dan Hurley and UConn.
Yeah, Illinois is a team that I've been kind of high on all season long. I don't have it on record, so you can either believe me or not, but I thought, starting from like late November, early December, this is a team that was capable of making a deep run in the tournament. And obviously they've proved me right. So they're a fun team to watch. A lot of European guys out there, which is interesting. And Keaton Wagler, who is really, really good. But they're the kind of team that can show up on any given night and beat you by 20 or lose to you by 20. They're similar to Alabama, in my opinion, in that fact. So it's a matter of, do they show up? Does the right Fighting Illini team show up and take on a pretty well-rounded UConn team? And UConn's had some time to cool down a little bit after that just outstanding, outstanding finish to their game against Duke the other day. So it's a matter of which version of these two teams shows up. And if the best version of Illinois shows up, I think they're capable of beating UConn. But if they don't, then I think it's Dan Hurley back to the national championship.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point that you make, that Illinois 100% capable of winning this game. And I would argue any of these four teams is capable of winning a national championship. There's nobody who should just be happy to be there. But I do think you look at Illinois, and their star player is a freshman who you're relying a lot on a young player to step up in big moments. UConn has the experience. They have the coach. And I'll pick the Huskies, but I really do think that this could be a game that comes down to the wire. And I also like the point you made that UConn has had a chance to kind of calm down. That was an emotional win in the final seconds against Duke in the Elite Eight. And if that had been a Sweet 16 game and you had to turn around and play 2 days later, I would worry about there being an emotional letdown for this Huskies team. But I do think having this week off, I think they did get to go back to stores for a couple of days because they were playing in D.C., so didn't have to go straight to Indianapolis. I think that hopefully will allow them to reset emotionally and be ready for tomorrow night's game.
You have to wonder, I mean, you've turned on ESPN at some point throughout this week. I'm sure it's all over ESPN. You have to wonder if they're listening to the narratives being put out about them, that they're this destined team to win the national championship. No one can touch them, because that does a lot mentally for a college student. It does a lot mentally for an athlete in general, hearing people blow smoke at you and tell you you're the greatest. So look, I don't think Dan Hurley's the kind of coach to allow that to affect the locker room. And if it does, he'll probably just scream at you and scare you out of it. So I think that's probably not something to be concerned about, but it is an interesting thing to think about, that have these players turned on First Take and watch Stephen A. Smith say that was the greatest performance he's ever seen. I'm sure they have, because a media-driven world, in a world where you can have anything you want at the touch of a button on your phone. So I'm sure that narrative is probably in their minds. It's just a matter of, can they not let it get to their brain? And the same thing can be said for Illinois, honestly. Are they listening to the doubters? Are they listening to the people who say they can't beat UConn? Dan Hurley's won two national championships. He has the opportunity to go to his third in 4 years. Brad Underwood is a good coach. I think he's a really good coach, actually. And I really like the way that roster is constructed. You have Keaton Wagler, who I mentioned is their best player as a freshman. But you have, what is it, Mamdanovich or whatever his name is.
Is it Mirkovich?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the Vitches.
They have
all
a lot of Vitches, yes. It's like...
You've got Big Z. You've got Big Z's brother. You've got Peja Stojakovic's son.
Yes.
On that team. So that's a well-constructed team. And I do think this is a team that's capable of beating UConn. I'd probably pick the Huskies to win just because I think Dan Hurley has the more proven team, and I think he's the more proven coach in this matchup, but I would not be surprised if Illinois took this one down to the wire and beat them.
Yeah, and I will say, just overarching, big picture, no matter what happens with Dan Hurley and UConn, this is one of the more impressive four-year stretches from a program we've seen in a while. Won the national championship as a four seed 3 years ago, then 2 years ago, able to defend their title, which, and they were in roughshod through that tournament in 2024. Last year, you didn't make it back. It's tough to do it 3 years in a row, but to retool and come back and be back in the Final Four for the third time in 4 years, what Dan Hurley has done with this team is so impressive. And UConn fans in general are just spoiled. I saw that, and the women's team does a lot of the heavy lifting here because I think that they've only missed the Final Four once since 2008. But at the very minimum, one of the UConn basketball teams has been in the Final Four every year since 2008, which is just crazy.
I mean, they're a primetime player in our sport now. They are among the ranks of Duke and I guess you could say like and Purdue, teams that are Houston, teams that are atop the rankings year in and year out. And some of that is they play in the big week, the Big East. So that's part of it. But, you know, they get to tournament time and they play tough non-conference schedules and they show their worth throughout the season and it continues down the stretch. So Dan Hurley reminds me so much of Kurt Cignetti in some ways that you just don't doubt him. Anything he says is probably going to end up happening unless he's just bested. So I'm going to roll with the Huskies to take this one. I would not be surprised if Illinois makes it a game, but I just can't doubt Dan Hurley.
Yep, I'm going with UConn too. Parker, are you on that train? You think UConn's going to win it?
Yeah, I do, but I think this is going to be a really, really good game. I think Illinois is better than a lot of people give them credit for. Like, they are here for a reason. They did hit a tough stretch during the regular season where they didn't look like the team that went on, a 13-game win streak. They have a lot of size, which is going to give UConn a lot of trouble. I think this is a 2 to 3 point game. I really do, but I think UConn's
going to
win.
Going to be a fun night. That is the appetizer before the main course of Michigan and Arizona coming up tomorrow night. 2-1 seeds, maybe the two best teams all year long, squaring off for a spot in the national championship. We will preview that game coming up next. Our NCAA men's basketball tournament updates are presented by Toyota. Let's go places. Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Maple Street Biscuit Company, Wake Up to Wow, Thompson Machinery, and Pizona MD. When the starting lineup at home is set, talk vasectomy with Pizona MD in Brentwood. Visit PizonaMD.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you. We will continue to preview the Final Four up next here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, Connor Newt with you on your Friday morning. We got a few more segments left with you. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will try and predict what goes on this weekend around sports in our Monday headlines. Spoiler alert, it usually is wrong. But getting ready for the Final Four tomorrow. Just went through UConn, Illinois. That is the opening game just after 5 p.m. Central Time tip-off from Indianapolis. But the game everybody's looking forward to, Michigan, Arizona. The 2-1 seeds, outside of a little adversity here and there in the tournament, they have rolled through to the Final Four. And I think this has game of the year written all over it. I will be supremely disappointed if this doesn't end up being a game that comes down to the final minutes.
Yeah, it's probably the two best teams in the tournament, in my opinion. Even with the other 2-1 seeds that were involved, I was a big Arizona fan throughout the season, just because I think from top to bottom they're the most talented team. The way they attack the basket, that's a team that doesn't shoot the three ball as much, and they just wear you down on the interior. So I think that's a perfect blend versus what Michigan throws out there, a team that can hit the three and can also attack you inside. But I'm very interested to watch this matchup between Koa Peak, the freshman from Arizona, and Yaxel Lendeborg, who is a fifth-year guy over at Michigan, Big Ten Player of the Year. So this is going to be a very fun one. And I'm going to say this, and I sincerely apologize if this is something you've already said before, Jake. I haven't had the opportunity to hear you talk about this game yet, but I feel that the winner of this game is going to go on to be your national champion. Just
Yep, I
because
agree.
I think both rosters are constructed deep enough to have the potential to wear down the other team. That's nothing against Illinois or UConn. I think those teams are equally as capable, well, not, maybe not equally, but I think those teams are just as capable of winning the national championship. But if it were me making the prediction, and it is, I would probably take the winner of this game to win the national championship. And it's a tough one because I would have to pull up the clip, but on my show on the Saturdays, Frazier and I did a mock Final Four in like late October, and I had Michigan in the Final Four. So I've been on them all year. But Arizona has just continued to prove me wrong all season and won games that I didn't expect them to win. So it's such a tough, I think I got to go Arizona. Arizona, I think, is the one team on my bracket that I actually had in the Final Four. They didn't make my championship, so I will do them justice and say that they're going to win this game.
I've picked Arizona as my national championship national champion since the bracket came out. I'm sticking with Arizona, but I agree with you. I think this is the de facto national championship. Nevada Josh agrees. I think this is a good way of putting it. It's just like the NFL. The actual championship game was a week before, where Seattle and LA played, and everybody kind of looked at that and said, "Yeah, the NFC champ is going to be the favorite in the Super Bowl." I feel the same way about this. They play the games for a reason, right? You're going to have to go out there and play 40 minutes on the hardwood. And basketball is one of those sports where if UConn or Illinois, whoever wins that game, gets hot, easily could win that game. But I do think the best team on the floor on Monday night is going to be the winner of Michigan and Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, it may be April 3rd, but it's still March in my mind. So anything could happen, but I would definitely pick one of these two teams to come out. I'm interested to see. Have you been following this story on Elliot Cadeau, who is the point guard
Yes.
for Michigan?
Yeah.
So for those who aren't familiar, after their win, what was it, Sunday against Tennessee in the Elite Eight, he tested for some like allergic reaction or something like that, and he didn't travel with the team to Indianapolis right away. He's in Indianapolis today, or he's been there for a few days now. And he is going to start, but it is interesting. I'm wondering how fatigue is going to play a factor into him, because I am currently going through an allergic reaction and also like 3 hours of sleep from last night. So maybe my situation is not quite like his, but it is an interesting storyline to follow along.
Right. Yeah, I did see that. I mean, it's something that has to play a role, right? You know, you look at these teams and sometimes it's easy to forget that like they're going through human stuff as they prepare for these games. And Elliot Cadeau, an allergic reaction. He couldn't fly with the team out there, had to come in late. I don't know if that's going to play a factor in this game tomorrow night, but it's an external distraction that Michigan has had to deal with that Arizona hasn't. I'm going with Arizona. Connor's going with Arizona. Parker, Arizona or Michigan?
Give me, I've been going back and forth on this one. I think Arizona's gonna win. I think they're gonna win the whole thing. I
Yeah,
just
man, we did not save the graphic on either of these.
I'm sorry. I really like Michigan.
Give me
Like, I think
Michigan. Go Big Blue.
There you go.
We all are on Arizona and UConn in the championship, which means we're gonna get an all Big Ten team. all Big Ten national championship on Monday night.
Dr. Locke will be a happy man.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. And I mean, we talked about it earlier this week. It is becoming harder to defend the SEC in the conference supremacy arguments because the Big Ten's won three straight in football. And yes, last year was a banner year for the SEC with 14 teams getting into the NCAA tournament in Florida, cutting down the nets. But this year, obviously not nearly as successful. Only one SEC team in the Elite Eight and zero in the Final Four. So the Big Ten staking their claim to top athletic conference this year with what they've done on the football field and on the basketball court.
Yeah, I mean, I still am going under the argument that, especially in football, you and I have discussed this plenty, Jake, that the top of the SEC and the top of the Big Ten are comparable. And then the middle, I think, of the SEC is better than the middle and the low end of the Big Ten. That's just in football. In basketball, the Big Ten was a better conference this year.
Yep.
I mean, Michigan was good. Obviously, they're in a Final Four. Michigan State, Purdue.
Iowa went to the Elite Eight. Nebraska.
Yeah. Nebraska ball, of course. Yeah. So you had a really good conference top to bottom. That's what I think is exciting about this matchup. Is you have representatives from what I think were the two best conferences in basketball this season in the Big 12 and the Big 10. And probably the two best teams from said conference are playing each other in a shot to go to a national championship. I am, to steal a term from you, Jake, I will be extremely disappointed if this ends up in like a 20-point blowout either way. I want this game to come down to the final freaking shot.
I know.
That's how excited I am for it.
As someone with no dog in the fight in these two games, I am just begging for them to be competitive all the way down to the wire. I mean, that's what March Madness is all about. Yes, you're going to follow your team and you're rooting for them to win the whole thing. But once your team is out and you're just watching basketball, we live for the moments like we saw on UConn Duke of the 40-foot shot. It's the chaos. You root for chaos, and I'm hoping we get some tomorrow night in Indianapolis because that's what makes great moments is the final minutes when it's a 1 or 2 point game and it's the chess match between the two head coaches. I really think it's going to be a fun night, and I hope it lives up to the hype. There is the external factor here, though, of that UNC job being open. Do we think that that one of the coaches who's going to be on the sideline tomorrow night maybe has Chapel Hill on his mind while that game's being played?
I don't think so. I think they're not going to hire a current college coach.
Oh.
I think they go Billy Donovan because I think he wants to return.
I could totally see it. The Tommy Lloyd stuff has been there's smoke there, and he's gone out of his way to not completely deny it, right? And I think that's what you see when coaches are considering leaving. I look back at Kenny Brooks leaving Virginia Tech for Kentucky. He was asked about it because there were rumors that week, and he said, you know, when your team is good, you're going to have interest. And, you know, a week later, he was in Lexington. Tommy Lloyd, his press conferences this week, he's been asked about it and has kind of brushed the question aside and said, I'm focused on my team right now. I need to be. He also had the comment about, there's been good coaches at Arizona before me and there will be good coaches at Arizona after I'm gone. That felt a little bit strange from Tommy Lloyd as he gears up for this Final Four game.
You make a point. But if he does leave, if I'm an Arizona fan, I wouldn't view that as a betrayal. Because North Carolina is one of the premier destinations in college basketball. I would argue probably a top three job in the entire sport. If you're presented with that opportunity, unless you're Lane Kiffin, you take it.
No, I agree with you. I do think that North Carolina is one of the jobs that everybody across the country has to consider if it's presented to you. Doesn't mean you have to take it, but it's one of those jobs with the resources and the history that if they're interested in you, you at the very least have to consider it. So I don't blame Tommy Lloyd if he is interested in that job. But I do think it's funny the way he's kind of talked circles around it all week. It makes you think that there's a chance that that's on the table once this season is over.
Overall, top to bottom, can we put to rest the argument that has been put out that was NIL is going to kill March Madness, because this has been one of the more fun tournaments of my lifetime. You don't have the massive upsets that you're traditionally used to. And Nick Frazier and I have talked about this before. We asked you about it. That I think the days of the Cinderella, like St. Peter's going to the Elite Eight, are probably behind us. And your Cinderella is going to look more like your Texas 11 seed,
Iowa,
or number 9 Iowa, or something like that. But overall, I feel like this tournament has just had good games. Like, you had Kentucky and Santa Clara from half court. You had UConn and Duke. You had a lot of these games that resulted in last second heaves.
Nebraska Vandy.
Yeah, that didn't. Yeah, you've had these. So I feel like this has just been a really fun tournament to watch. You've had some blowouts, and you're going to have that every single tournament, because that's just the nature of the game when you have 64 teams in there. But I feel like if you look across the board, you know, Iowa beats Florida on a near last second shot.
Yep.
You've had the moments. And I think that's what's made this tournament so much fun, is you have moments that you can look back on and remember the 2026 tournament from them. Like, I will look back 10 years from now and think about that Otega Owe shot from half court. I'll look back 10 years from now and think about that UConn from about 40 feet out beating Duke to go to the Final Four. It's had those memorable moments. So I think we should put to rest the NIL will kill March Madness debate, because that is certainly not the case.
Yeah, I think you can look at it and say NIL and the transfer portal changes March Madness, but kill, I think, is a strong word. You're still getting a great tournament, and the one shining moment montage on Monday night is going to have plenty of moments that they can look back on. I mean, the Owe Kentucky Santa Clara sequence, Tyler Tanner shot going in and out at the buzzer, the shot from Iowa to beat Florida, and of course UConn over Duke. Like, it's been a fun tournament, and let's hope that we finish it with an exclamation point over the weekend in Indianapolis with the Final Four. Illinois and UConn leads off the night, 5 o'clock tip, 5:09 tip if you want to be specific Central Time, and then the nightcap will be Michigan and Arizona to set the national championship game on Monday night. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, it is 11:30 on a Friday. We are going to try and predict what we will be talking about on Monday morning in our Monday headline segment. You can make your predictions as well. Again, 615-737-1025. We will make ours when we come back. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. Couple more segments on your Friday morning. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at noon. But it's time now for our Monday headlines. What is going to happen in the world of sports over the weekend? We are going to try and predict it. One of these, we're going to say, has to be related to one of the Final Four. So it could be men's, could be women's. One of the Final Fours, the other one could be anywhere across the board, hockey, baseball, you name it. I'm leading off because I don't want anyone to steal this one. I am going to say that between the two games tomorrow night in Indianapolis, we are going to get a buzzer beater. We are going to get a game-winning or game-tying buzzer beater in one of the two games tomorrow night. I believe in these matchups. They're going to be tight. I think we are going to get an all-time moment at the Final Four tomorrow night.
I hope so. That would be...
It may just be wishful thinking.
I was just talking about... You and I were just talking about how this has been such a memorable tournament. What would be more memorable than a buzzer beater at the buzzer? A buzzer beater at the buzzer. Great word by me. What would be better than a buzzer beater in a Final Four game for a shot to go to the national championship?
There's not much. And it might just be wishful thinking for me, but I'm going to say that we get a buzzer beater in one of the two games in Indianapolis tomorrow night. Connor, what is your Final Four Monday headline?
I'm going to go to Michigan and Arizona, and I was just talking about this matchup, so might as well make a prediction on it. Between the two players that are guarding each other, the freshman Coapete of Arizona and the fifth-year grad Yaxel Lendeborg from Michigan, I think the two will have 50 or more combined points.
All right. I like it. Pete averages about 14, and Lendeborg...
He just went off against who did they play the other day? Anyways, he had like 25. Purdue, yeah.
I like
it. And then Lindenborg had like 28 against Tennessee.
That's going to be the big matchup in that game tomorrow night is the freshman versus the Big Ten player of the year. So I like it. 50 combined between Lindenborg and Pete. Parker, what is your Final Four Monday headline?
Okay, so we already made our predictions. I think both favorites lose, but it's 1.5-point spreads on both games. I'm going to get real specific right here. I think Keaton Wagler, the star freshman for Illinois, is going to be very limited versus UConn. I think they're going to do a good job defensively on him. He had 25 points versus Iowa in the Elite Eight. He's been averaging right under 18 points per game this year. I think he gets held to somewhere in the 10 to 15 point range.
Wow.
So I think Keaton Wagler gets pretty limited tomorrow night.
All right. So tough day for Keaton Wagler. I like it. And I think if he has a big day, that's going to be one of the reasons Illinois could win that game. If UConn's able to slow him down, I think the Huskies dance into the national championship game. All right, so those are our Monday headlines for the Final Four. I've got a buzzer beater at some point tomorrow night to either tie or win the game at the buzzer. Connor going with Lindenborg and Pete to combine for 50, and Parker says it's going to be a tough day for Keaton Wagler of Illinois. We can go across the board now, and Connor, since I went first on the Final Four, you can go wherever you want with your Monday headline.
Okay, I'll go to baseball, but I'll stay away from Cardinals and Tigers because I feel like that's where you're going to go. So the Pirates have just called up their number one prospect,
yes,
Connor Griffin, who is just a sensational player. He's only 19. He plays his debut today. I believe they play the Reds.
Yeah, you might
Orioles.
Be right. Is it the Orioles? That's what I thought.
Is it the Orioles?
Yeah.
I knew it was a team out.
Yep.
Anyways, I believe at some point in the series, he's going to homer. He's
okay.
He had 21 homers last year across three minor league teams. That would be high A, double A, and of course triple A. So maybe a safe pick. But I feel like, you know, I'm kind of heavy on the baseball right now. Now that my team is out of the tournament, so it'll be like this until training camp gets started.
I like it. I am Connor Griffin. This is one of the most highly anticipated debuts in a long time. Like you think back to some of the big debuts we've seen from prospects. Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg when they came up with the Nationals.
Yep.
Trying to think
Ronald
of
Acuna.
Ronald Acuna was a big one. Even like Jackson Churio with the Brewers. I mean, he was when he only spent a week with the Sounds before he had to go up to Milwaukee. So
yeah.
This is up there, number one prospect in baseball. He's been talked about like he could be not just one of the best prospects in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, but maybe one of the best prospects to come up in the last 10. So I'm excited for that. Connor Griffin makes his MLB debut tonight. I was going to go with baseball. I was going to just say the Tigers sweep the Cardinals just to, you know, twist the knife a little bit.
I think you'll win the series. This lineup is not good. They caught fire against two bad teams.
You do get a revenge game against Jack Flaherty tomorrow afternoon. So,
yeah. JJ Weatherholt, here we go.
With Flaherty and Verlander starting the last two games, I do think the Tigers win the series. I don't know if they're going to sweep it. So I'm going to go to hockey. Again, we went wishful thinking on the buzzer beater. I'm going to go wishful thinking here. Most important game of the season for the Nashville Predators tomorrow. They win in regulation.
No. You took mine, Connor. He didn't leave the hockey to the hockey expert.
Come on, man. What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
Hey, it's horse racing season. You can go there.
I'm going with the Preds are going to get it done in regulation in San Jose and take claim of that final wild card spot tomorrow. I'm sorry, Parker. Do you need a couple more minutes to figure out a new one?
No, I came up with one on the spot.
Go ahead.
All right. I think the Vandy boys have been playing very
yeah.
well. You know, it's tough to admit, but they have. They got a win on the road last night in College Station 12-8. And they're playing a doubleheader today. Vandy is going to get the series win. They're not going to sweep A&M, but they're going to get the series win, and they'll do that today.
I think it worked out well for Vanderbilt that they were able to get the series started with a win last night. How about Colin Barzy? 3 home runs for the second time this season, and He's missed a lot of time with injury. And all of those home runs have come in Texas so far this season. He was sensational last night. Vandy gets the win. And it works out nicely. Doubleheaders are tough to sweep. Either side. Like, a lot of times, doubleheaders are going to end in a split. That's just how baseball works. So Vandy, if you get out to an early lead, you sell out to try and win the series on the road. If you fall behind early, you can try and save your bullpen for game two. But I like that. Vandy has now won six in a row, including that sweep over Tennessee. A doubleheader today, 2 and 6 o'clock first pitches over on 94.9 The Fan with Andrew Allegretta if you want to tune in. All right, I like our Monday headlines today for our off the wall, off the board ones. Connor is going to go with Connor Griffin getting a home run in his first weekend as an MLB player. I've got the Preds winning in regulation tomorrow against the Sharks. And Parker says the Vandy boys win the series against Texas A&M. If you have any predictions for the weekend, you can send those in on our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've got one more segment with you on this Friday morning. When we come back, we'll bounce around a little bit. We got some things to talk about. A little bit with the Preds. Also, I just saw some news out of the NFL and about the Rooney Rule compensation that they do with draft picks when minority hires are made. This surrounds the Bears and Falcons. I thought it was interesting. We'll get into that to wrap up the show coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, wrapping up the show on this Friday. Chasing Big Joe coming up after us. Again, if you tuned in today hoping to hear Max Herz from Preds Radio, usually joins us on Friday, had to shift some things around with their travel schedule. The Preds out on the West Coast, so Max will join us on Monday from 11 to 12 is the plan. So we will have all things Preds with Max coming up on Monday and a reaction to everything that goes on this weekend. It's a busy weekend.
Sorry to be
of sports.
The reason you turned the radio off.
No, nothing to do with you, Connor. I just I know people sometimes come for Max and for some more in-depth Preds talk. But Max will be with us on Monday.
We had to settle for Connor today. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah. Connor's usually here for two. Sorry, you had to endure him for three, but it's okay.
At least I wasn't in the station, so they had control of what I could say over the air.
That is very true. So Connor with us for all 3 hours today. Big thanks to Connor for joining us, despite being up late night with the Preds. And it's an important weekend for the Predators. They've got another late night one tomorrow in San Jose, trying to reclaim Wild Card 2 over the Sharks, currently in a three-way tie with San Jose and L.A. Also, we just went through all of the men's Final Four action tomorrow, UConn and Illinois, Michigan and Arizona. We have not talked yet about the women's Final Four, all one seeds, and it is the same Final Four as last year. But I do think these are very clearly the four best teams. And I think we're going to get two really good games tonight. 6 o'clock, South Carolina, UConn. Texas, UCLA is the late night at 8:30. I would pick UConn and UCLA, but I do think all four of these teams are more than capable of winning a national championship. South Carolina looking for some revenge after being blown out in the national title game by UConn a year ago. I think we should get two fun ones tonight.
Have you ever seen the Dude Perfect stereotypes, the March Madness one?
Yeah.
You know what's going through my mind right now when we're talking about this?
The chalk?
They're filling out the women's bracket, and they all just look around. Who you got winning the women's tournament? And all in unison, UConn. That's where I'm at right now. I just feel like UConn's going to run the table. Gina Auriemma, I think, if you're going to use a coach for college basketball, both men's and women's, to call the greatest of all time, I think it's him. He just has no stopping point. You said it earlier in the show that UConn women have only missed the Final Four once since 2008.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. So I think he's going to grab another one, and, you know, they're going to ask him if he's going to retire, and he's going to come up with the snarky response he always does. Yeah, I'll stop at like 15.
Yep. Yep, I mean, Gino Auriemma, him and Pat Summitt on the woman's side, I mean, it's the standard. And UConn is the odds-on favorite by far. They have not lost yet this season. They've got Sarah Strong, who You know, I would disagree with it, but she's the National Player of the Year. You got AZ Fudd, who is probably a top three WNBA draft pick, and plenty more talent up and down that roster. Now, South Carolina's really good. Don Staley versus Gino Auriemma, that has been the two best coaches of the last decade to half decade. So I'm excited for that one tonight. Texas UCLA should be good too. Madison Booker versus Lauren Betts. I lean UCLA just because of Betts and the force that she is down in the paint. I don't know if Kyla Oldacre and the bigs for Texas can keep up with her, but we're going to get two fun games, and I do agree with you. I think UConn's going to take it home in the end.
I mean, they're just loaded. Azzie Fudd's a good player. You and I have talked about them before, and that she's not as impactful of a player for the success of UConn as, say, like a Michaela Blakes is for Vanderbilt, but she's a really good player, probably going to be at the top of the WNBA draft whenever it's her time. So I think UConn is just the best team top to bottom, and I think they're the best coach team. So I would take them to run the table and probably win and cut down the nets once again.
Those games coming up tonight, UConn and South Carolina, and then UCLA, Texas. The national championship game will be on Sunday afternoon out in Phoenix. Quickly, before we wrap up here, I saw a tweet from Ian Rappaport, and I thought this was really interesting. He put out there about an hour ago, the Bears have been lobbying for draft pick compensation following the hire of Ian Cunningham as Falcons general manager. Today, the NFL responded, stating there will be no picks coming. Quote, the matter is now closed following the club's appeal. The NFL informed the Bears today they will not receive compensatory picks. The policy is designed to provide picks for the primary football executive position. The league determined Mr. Cunningham did not fill that role with the Falcons as it is defined in league rules, end quote. So because of Matt Ryan, the Bears do not get the compensatory picks for the minority hire program where the Bears developed Ian Cunningham as the assistant GM. He goes to the Falcons to take the GM job. But because Matt Ryan is the one making decisions, they don't get the picks. That's a really interesting twist to the way that they frame the primary football executive position.
I really don't understand the Rooney Rule stuff just because, I don't know, I feel like it contradicts itself a lot. And I don't really want to get into the fix as to, you know, I don't want to start a whole argument, but it's really confusing to me. So you're right. That is a really interesting story. And, you know, it kind of shows the dichotomy of the NFL and how its rules work, and that a lot of it is little minute details that can change a whole trajectory of something that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, you look back to last year where Chad Brinker was the president of football operations, and when the Titans fired Rand Carthon, there was a question of, okay, is this GM position going to just be a glorified number two next to Chad Brinker? The NFL investigated and determined that, okay, the GM job that Mike Borgonzi is stepping into is the primary football executive. Obviously, there was no picks on the line there, but I think that's interesting that the way teams are structuring their front offices now, being the GM in one place doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as it does in another, just based on how the power structure is formatted.
Yeah, it just shows that every team has a different hierarchy of how things are run. The Titans and the Falcons actually kind of run a similar hierarchy in terms of how the ownership group works. Like, Arthur Blank is obviously the owner. And then you have, I think Matt Ryan is above the GM.
Yes.
So it is kind of similar to how the Titans were last year. It's a little bit different now this year. Obviously, you know, they said that Borgonzi and Brinker now are equals and both report directly to Amy Adams Strunk. So
right.
It is a little bit similar. But it just goes to show you that every team is run a little bit differently. And like I said, one minute little detail can cost you some compensatory picks like it did with the Bears.
Yep. Yeah. So the Bears appealed it, and they will not be getting those picks for the Falcons hiring Ian Cunningham. So that was something I didn't really even realize was going on. But those picks mean a lot. You look at the 49ers, they've had a lot of those, the minority development with Robert Saleh going to the Jets initially, and Rand Carthon going to the Titans, and why am I blanking? D'Amico Ryan's going to the Texans. They've been able to take advantage of that system and get a lot of picks and build up what's been one of the best rosters in the NFL. So the Bears not going to be able to get those compensatory picks with the way the Falcons front office is structured. So interesting stuff there. Connor, always great having you on. Appreciate you battling through after not getting much sleep last night. We will let you get to a nap and talk to you next week.
I appreciate it. I will probably be asleep in about 3 minutes, but happy Holy Friday to you, Jake. Happy Holy Friday to everyone. Happy Easter if I don't talk to you before yes. then, but I will because I'll be on the air tomorrow from 9 to 11. So happy Holy Week, everyone.
Yes. Hope everybody has a great and safe Easter weekend. We will be back on Monday to break down the Final Four. Max Herz will join us on Monday to talk Preds and much more. Going to be a great weekend of sports. And again, a very happy Easter weekend to everybody out there. That does it for us. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.